Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is March 10th, 2021. I really hope you all are having a great week out there. It has been a really beautiful stretch of weather here in mid-Michigan, as I've been talking about throughout the week. I mean, temperatures in the 60s. It just feels like spring, doesn't it? It really does. Now, it will get colder as the week moves along, but this little taste of sunshine that we're getting right now, and I guess rain today, just gives us a reminder that, hey, spring is right around the corner. So I hope you all are enjoying this weather right now. Thanks so much for tuning into WKAR's Current Sports. On today's show, we are going to talk Michigan State men's basketball. You know, the Spartans have really been the centerpiece and become the centerpiece of Current Sports in the month of March. I really didn't believe that they were going to be the centerpiece this year because I didn't believe prior to what last week for me, I didn't think Michigan State men's basketball was going to make the NCAA tournament. You guys know that I have made that very clear. I made that very clear, you know, at the beginning of this week after Michigan State on Sunday had beaten in-state rival at the time, the number two team in the nation in the Michigan Wolverines. They found a way to get that dub, and I believe they will make the tournament regardless of what happens this week in the Big Ten tournament. And that's to take nothing away from the Michigan Wolverines. I mean, the Michigan Wolverines are really, really good. And they are a squad that can go all the way. You know, right now, actually, I'm reading a piece from ESPN in which Jay Billis, who is one of, if not the biggest college basketball analysts in the game, but of course, Jay works for ESPN, he put a piece out today which breaks down what he calls the Billis plan and the 68 best teams in college basketball. And coming in right behind Gonzaga and Baylor on his list is, you guessed it, the Michigan Wolverines. So, you know, the loss to Illinois without Ayo Dosunmu, I mean, that was really a stunner for sure. And then, of course, losing to Michigan State on Sunday. Yeah, but if you look at the entirety of the body of work that the Michigan Wolverines were able to put together, I mean, it's hard not to put the Michigan Wolverines in any kind of top five list, let alone top 10 list when it comes to the best college basketball teams in the nation. And credit to Juwan Howard. He won Big Ten Coach of the Year, deservingly so. This is a team that shocked many. And it's amazing when you look at his list, you know, three of his top five teams are all from the Big Ten, which, again, you know, you look at Michigan, a team that won the Big Ten outright this season. The fact that Michigan was able to do that, playing in the best college basketball conference in the nation, it says a lot about their talent. It really, really does, because you got Illinois at 4 on his list and then Iowa at 5. Where does Michigan State land, you ask? Well, Michigan State is the 35th best team in the nation, according to Jay Billis. This is what he says about the Spartans. Quote, the Spartans have demonstrated a lot more confidence over their current 5-2 stretch. Aaron Henry has been really special of late, scoring, but also taking the right shots and making the extra passes when needed. This is a team that is going to be much better than its NCAA tournament seed, rest assured. So, some very positive words there from Jay Billis when discussing Tom Izzo's Spartans. And it just is truly remarkable to me, because this was a team that was totally dead in the water. We all know, I mean, heading into that stretch of basketball in which they had to cram in so many games on the back nine of the season and playing ranked opponents like an Ohio State, like an Illinois, finding wins against those programs, finding a win against Michigan on Sunday. This stretch of basketball has been one of the best coaching jobs in the tenure of head coach Tom Izzo. It is truly, truly remarkable, folks. So, Spartan fans, we get to enjoy March Madness for another year. You know, we were robbed of it last season because of COVID. And we were all talking about how the possible streak that dates back to 1997 for Coach Izzo and the Spartans would possibly be snapped this year. Well, that's now out the window. And Tom Izzo and Michigan State will make the tournament and keep that streak alive. And the Big Ten tournament is coming up for Michigan State now. And, you know, I think, again, regardless of how they show up in the Big Ten tournament, they will be in the Big Dance. But, you know, Michigan State can use this, you know, to really find itself even more and to carry, you know, further carry momentum into the tournament, which is so key right now. It really is all about momentum, you know, because we've seen, how many times have we seen teams that have had great regular seasons, right, have a hiccup or three near the end of the year, and then the Big Dance happens, and they get upset. It happens all the time, which, you know, for Michigan, it could be a bit puzzling. And, you know, we've seen the opposite as well. I mean, that's why they call it March Madness, folks. I mean, it's so unpredictable. I mean, we've seen the opposite where, okay, some of, you know, for the most part of the season, a team is having a solid year, and then they struggle to close out the season, but then they find that mojo that they had throughout much of the year, and they go running through opponents come tourney time. So it's so unpredictable, but you want to have some positive momentum. For the most part, the teams that go far in the tournament and the Michigan State teams that go far in the tournament have some kind of positive momentum rolling into the NCAA tournament. So, the Big Ten tournament starts here, folks. Postseason starts here. Michigan State will be the number 9 seed and will open up the second round of the Big Ten tournament, which was moved, of course, from Chicago to Lucas Oil Stadium now out in Indianapolis. And Michigan State tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. So, in the morning, will play against the Maryland Terrapins. So Michigan State and Maryland tomorrow morning at 11:30. All right, so again, take note of that. Now, when it comes to how Michigan State fared this year against Maryland, well, if you remember, you know, just what, 5 games ago, they actually lost on the road to Maryland. That was just a blowout. So they'll be looking for some revenge when looking at that last meeting. That was a 73-55 final in that matchup. And I believe, yeah, that was the only time that Michigan State played against Maryland this season. So it was that meeting. Again, that was four games ago, in which Michigan State just got completely blown out of the water. Wasn't even close. I mean, you had, of course, Aaron Henry and Josh Langford leading the pack like they always do. But, you know, Aaron Henry didn't go off. He had just 11 points in that game. Josh Langford had 12 in that game. Bad shooting performance. They were 8 of 28 from three-point land. If you remember, I mean, Maryland in that defense, they clogged the lane, didn't allow Michigan State to get up into paint, and they forced Michigan State to become a shooting team. So this Maryland team is very dangerous, very dangerous. And look, you know, when we recapped that lone meeting between the Terps and Michigan State, you know, I touched upon Michigan State looking like they were a tired team. You know, fatigue certainly, I think, was a factor. That was just a really tough 2 week stretch for the loss. You know, but you know, having no Spartans score more than 12 points in a game. In which they were never particularly close. They looked tired a bit, but they also played bad. And you got to give Maryland credit when it came to, you know, that defensive prowess, that they showed. So for Michigan State, this will not be easy. But again, you know, Spartan fans have the luxury. I believe they have the luxury in having a pressure-free opening game of the Big Ten tournament. If you win, cool. You advance, and it further ups that resume. It further convinces the committee that you deserve to be in that number. But if you lose, again, I think you're already in. You don't have to stretch and pull out your hair and say, oh, man, did we do enough? Michigan State has clearly done enough, especially, you know, beating Michigan the way they did on Sunday. So, you know, in Michigan basketball, you know, just to touch upon what Juwan Howard has done this season, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to the Wolverines as well, because this was a team that, you know, Juwan Howard, coming into his second year, a COVID year, a year in which they had to sit out, you know, 2 weeks, still able to find win after win after win, and coming off of COVID, that was really what was the most impressive part of the season for Michigan basketball. You know, steamrolling opponents, and then they have this outbreak within Michigan athletics. I don't think within the Michigan program, basketball program per se, but regardless, they come off this 2 week hiatus, and it's just like back to business as usual. You know, I don't know what Juwan Howard had his team do during those 14 days, but man, bottle that up and write a book on it, so that other teams who are dealing with COVID, you know, and possibly may deal with it in the future can know how to stay active and stay in tune with themselves during a COVID break. Because that was pretty remarkable. Really, really remarkable. So, you know, the Wolverines, you know, they are the conference's number one seed. They will face the winner of Thursday's game between Michigan State and Maryland. So we could see a third matchup, you know, in the span of two weeks against, you know, when you talk about Michigan and Michigan State. So wouldn't that be something? You know, if Michigan State beats Maryland tomorrow morning, they'll meet up against the Wolverines again on Friday. And Maryland, you know, when it comes to Maryland, Michigan had no trouble with Maryland. They swept the Terrapins in December and January by a combined 42 points. They had absolutely no problem with the Terps this season. So if anything, they are hoping that Maryland can pull out that win so that they don't have to face Tommy Izzo's Spartans again, just as they did this past Sunday. So the first 10 games of the tournament will be televised on the Big Ten Network. CBS will air the semifinals on Saturday and also will carry Sunday's championship game. And that's set to end just before the NCAA tournament selection show, as it customarily is, you know, right after the Big Ten tournament champion is crowned. Then they have the selection show that will take place at 6 p.m. on Sunday. So, and it's always interesting, you know, it's such a weird year, you know, covering the Big Ten tournament is one of my favorite parts of my job. You know, I've been covering the Big Ten tournament for years, and it's always a thrill because it's always like that little taste of March Madness before March Madness really kicks in, before the big dance, right? When you have this one game elimination tournament, you know, and there are a lot of people out there that say that, you know, they don't care about the Big Ten tournament. It's a waste of time. You know, what does it really mean? You know, usually you don't have some kind of Cinderella story in the Big Ten Conference. Usually the best teams are sitting there on Saturday and Sunday in the semifinals and the finals ready to get it on. You know, usually don't have some kind of like, you know, like the 13th team in the Big Ten Conference going all the way to earn some improbable bid to the big dance. That usually doesn't happen in college basketball's best conference. But, you know, I love it because you really get to sit as a media member up close and personal with the Michigan State men's basketball team. And, you know, being there in the stadium, sitting right behind Tom Izzo and getting to hear him in all his glory, all of his Hall of Fame glory. You know, and you get to see the madness, the method to his madness. It's pretty remarkable. It really is, because that's really the closest that us as media members get the opportunity to be during a game when it comes to covering him and his program. It's always I got some stories. A lot of them I can't tell on the air when it comes to Izzo. But I've seen him multiple times, man. You know, being that close to him, you see what I like to call the controlled chaos that is a Michigan State timeout. And what I mean by that is, you know, and you see it on television. You know, Tom Izzo will, you know, during a timeout, will ream the players that he thinks needs to be, you know, reamed due to what he's seeing out there on the court. And you hear all kinds of stuff. But then he'll flip the switch and say, okay. And this is the part that a lot of people don't peep. He'll say, okay, we need to do X, Y, and Z. And then you got Coach Stevens, Dwayne Stevens, Mike Garland, and Dane Fife right there over his shoulder, you know, reiterating certain points. You got them talking to individual players that they need to talk to get more production out of. And what I love the most, and you see this all the time on television as well, is the interaction between the players and Coach Izzo. Because they'll suggest something, and you know, Izzo always wants a player-coach team. So, you know, you'll have the leaders of the team, or any player for that matter. It doesn't have to be, you know, the captains. They'll chime in and say, hey, we're not doing this or that, or they're trying to motivate fellow teammates. I mean, it is so interactive, and to be that up close and personal, because usually, you know, throughout the course of the regular season in a COVID-free year, you know, we're up in the press box. You know, we're up in the press box way away from Tom Izzo and the team during a game. But the Big Ten tournament, you know, allows us to be very, very close. And I think, you know, for the media members who are traveling to cover the Big Ten tournament, I think things are going to continue to be different because of COVID. You won't have the media right there behind the bench. I don't believe everybody will be spaced out because of the COVID world that we are still living in. So that's going to be different. But, you know, just reflecting on, you know, how things used to be, That's always a thrill, you know, of mine covering the Big Ten tournament like that. Yeah, and then, you know, just taking an intern as well, you know, past interns here on the show like Alex Sharg and Isaac Constance, my guys Alec Rio, Connor Mathis, Jack Kerwin. You know, I took Jack. Jack was with me the last Big Ten tournament that we got to cover, which was now, what, my goodness, 2019. It seems so long ago, you know, but we traveled, you know, got a hotel and traveled out there to, I believe we were in Indianapolis, I believe. Gosh, I could be wrong, though. Maybe it was Chicago. Oh, I can't remember. But we, you know, we traveled out there, and it's always cool for me because it's a refreshing reminder of how blessed I am to have this job and the job that I do, covering games and getting paid for it, man. It's certainly a blessing, but it's always a thrill for me when I take an intern to the Big Ten tournament and they are sitting there, eyes wide open, like, oh my goodness, this is what postseason basketball is about. And they are sitting there with me right behind the Michigan State bench and seeing Izzo interact with the players and seeing this firsthand and just shocked and excited. Yeah, it truly is a thrill. So, you know, we'll get back to that one day, just not today, right? And you know, I'll be covering the postseason games from my couch, my living room this year because of COVID and still, you know, trying to be safe. But, you know, it just makes me, you know, with that being said, it just makes me reflect a bit on how different things are, you know, this quote unquote new normal. So, but yeah, Michigan State, Maryland tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Of course, you know, the game should be done. I'm guessing it will be done by the time I hit the airwaves on Thursday at 1 p.m. But the thing is, you know, I pre-record the show and, you know, when it comes to editing time and all that kind of stuff, it'll be very unlikely that I'm recapping what is taking place, you know, what has taken place in that game. So just a warning. You know, you probably hear me preview that game more than anything. I probably won't, though, just because that'll be kind of weird because the outcome will already be final or close to it, and I'm sitting there previewing the game. So it's going to be a different show tomorrow. I may even have a special guest for you guys during tomorrow's show, okay? But, hey, turn it on. You know, if the game is still going, you know, hey, turn on Current Sports. You know, crank up the volume, turn the volume down on the announcers. Apologies to the announcers who are doing the game tomorrow, but yeah, turn off that volume and listen to Current Sports as you're watching Michigan State take on Maryland in the Big Ten tournament tomorrow. All right. Also want to let you guys know that the Michigan State women's basketball team can't forget about the ladies because they are the 7th seed and will play the 10th seed. Penn State Nittany Lions tonight at 6:30 p.m. in the Big Ten tournament. So I want to let you guys know that. I mean, Michigan State, Susie Merchant squad is 13-7 overall. Penn State is 9-14 overall. And this is the fifth time that the Spartans and the Lady Lions have met in the Big Ten tournament, with the series tied in the tournament at 2-2. So, and Nia Clouden has been balling out. I mean, junior guard Nia Clouden, she now has 1,193 points on the MSU career scoring list, moving up to number 18. She passed Spartan great Mary Kay Iterine, who played back in the late 70s and early 80s with 1,189 career points. And she is just 1 point shy of tying Aisha Jefferson with 1,194, which is pretty amazing. And Nia Clouden, she was actually named first team All Big Ten this week. So she is just an amazing, amazing player. And, you know, for Michigan State, you know, for the Lady Spartans, They have been having it's been an up and down year, you know, like win loss. But they are a solid team, and you know, will be in that number for the big dance. So we'll be having more on Michigan State women's basketball as well, as they embark on postseason dreams too. Okay. So yeah, I want to let you guys know that, and I'll be letting you all know tomorrow how they fared, and we'll actually have a brief recap on that game as well. I'll be tuning in tonight at 6:30 p.m. But Michigan State women's basketball taking on Penn State in the opening game for the Spartans. You guys can catch that on FS2, Fox Sports 2. Okay. All right, so what I want to do right now, I want to hit our first break. When we come back, I want to let you guys hear what Tom Izzo had to say during his press conference yesterday as Michigan State gears up to play in the Big Ten tournament. Izzo will touch on a variety of topics. So, yeah, we'll get to that and more on this Wednesday Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back. Okay, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And again, Michigan State men's basketball opening up the Big Ten tournament tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. against the Maryland Terrapins. Again, as I preview briefly before we hit that first break, the Michigan State women's basketball team will be in action tonight at 6:30 p.m. 6:30 p.m., folks, against the Penn State Nittany Lions. So don't forget about the ladies. Check them out as well. They are a really talented group. And when it comes to the men's basketball tournament, the Big Ten tournament, just a quick rundown of the games today, tonight. The tournament begins 6:30 p.m., so right when the women are playing, the Michigan State women's basketball team is playing, you'll have number 12 Northwestern taking on number 13 Minnesota in game one of the Big Ten men's basketball tournament. Game two, around 9 p.m., number 11 Penn State versus number 14 Nebraska. And then you have, and how about Michigan State avoiding playing on a Wednesday first round of the Big Ten tournament for yet another year, right? When it looked like they were going to for the first time ever, you know, just weeks ago. But in the second round, of course, as I already mentioned, Michigan State taking on Maryland at 11:30. Then you have number 5, Ohio State, against the game one winner around 2 p.m. So they will take on either Northwestern or Minnesota at 2 p.m. And then number 7, Rutgers versus number 10, Indiana, tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. And then you have in game 6, number 6, Wisconsin versus, you know, the winner of Penn State or Nebraska, I should say, at 9 p.m. tomorrow night. You know, that's how it looks. But then you got, you know, teams like Michigan, Purdue, Illinois, and Iowa all earning, you know, those, you know, round one and round two byes because of how good they were throughout the Big Ten regular season. Okay? So there you have that. Here is head coach Tom Izzo as he held his pre-Big Ten tournament press conference yesterday afternoon. Here's what he had to say as the Spartans now prep to take on Maryland in that opening game.
As far as Maryland goes, you know, a team that beat us, I don't think it was an 18-point game, but it wasn't a 5-point game. You know, we got down 11 zip, stayed that way. We cut it to 5, I think, with, you know, fouled and got out of hand. It was a team that was shooting 68% from the free throw line, 24 free throws. I think we made like 8 out of 15. So that was one key factor. But they have very talented wings who can score. They become a very, very good defensive team. Ayola had 22 against us. He got to the line 13 times and made every one of them. I think Wiggins is a big key. He's been driving a lot more, and he can shoot the three. He distributes for them. He does a little bit of everything. And Morsell, to me, was named Defensive Player of the Year. It's why their team's been better. They are better defensively than they were. Morsell has a lot to do with it. They can go deep, but they've been playing like a seven-man rotation. They've got some bigs that aren't real big, but they can all shoot the ball. And that is a problem for us. You know, they're all, it seems like everybody on their team is 6'5 to 6'7, and just about everybody can shoot it. So it'll be a big challenge, one I'm looking forward to, hopefully a little revenge. But maybe more importantly, I think we're playing a little better when we went out there. You know, we were playing okay, but we were going through a tough stretch even then. Not sure we handled it right. So hopefully we'll do a better job now. Questions?
We'll go to Chris Villari first.
Tom, I wondered, a couple days now after the Michigan game, and just kind of having a chance to maybe as little as you can process that stretch of 16 days. I guess, how can you carry that momentum over? And at this point, how much did you guys need this rest going down to Indy?
You know, for the one of the few times in my life, I say it was good rest for everybody, including the coaching staff. You know, we worked yesterday. Players didn't. But we last night, we took a little time off ourselves. So I thought everybody needed to be a little fresher. Didn't think about Michigan at all. Didn't get to enjoy that game. I guess that's what happens later on. But move forward to Maryland and figuring out a way we can do a better job than we did before. So, you know, players today in practice were pretty fresh. We gave Joshua the day off, not because of load management, just because of complete intelligence on our part and his, and the trainers and everybody else. So, he's my big key. Aaron is strong as an ox. He no problem going through practice. Everybody else is excited to be here. And Josh would have loved to have practiced. That was a coach's decision, not his. So, I don't know. I mean, it's we're ready to go. It's tournament time and one and done time. And the my bads now go out the window, as we know. You know, one my bad and you're going home. And that's the way it works.
We'll go next to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Tom, you kind of answered my question that it's about revenge. I wanted to quote The Godfather, business, not personal. Could you talk about revenge and the power of revenge and getting your guys on board with that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of respect from a lot of schools in this league this year. And I think everybody feels a little bad for everybody. So there's not quite the hatred revenge that you would see, which I'm okay with. I mean, I think revenge means they played better than us and our character has to step up. And we have to take on a challenge, you know. And so that's what revenge is to me. I have a lot of respect for the job Mark has done. And I like some of those players a lot. They're athletic kids that play hard. They've become very good defensively. But, you know, we've gotten better, too. And now we'll see if our better is better than their better. And that's the revenge is the character you play with now. And are you on a mission or are they on a mission? Which one's on the bigger mission?
Got it. Thank you.
Go next to Matt Charbonneau.
Tom, this is a tougher question to answer because you just wish everyone played well all the time, obviously. But what you saw from Rocket on Sunday, what you've seen slowly from guys like Marcus Bingham seems to be playing better. Joey looked a little more aggressive the other day, you know, less unsure of himself. What's the key to trying to get that to continue moving forward? I know Rocket's not going to score 21 every game, but to get that same sort of, I guess, confidence and effort from those guys moving forward at this point.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of meetings with some of those guys already. I'll have some more meetings with them just to talk about exactly what you said. You know, show them on film. This is what you did a better job of. Show them on film when they didn't do. You know, it's hard to talk to them as much as it is show them because everybody's visual now, you know, including you guys. My era is a little bit less visual. And I think I look at, you know, what Rocket accomplished. You're right. He's not going to shoot that way all the time, but took down his three-point shots, got in the paint more, drove the ball a little better, still had four assists, still had four rebounds. So his whole aggressive approach was better. I thought Hauser played a lot better. You know, as you say, more aggressive, rebounded the ball well, made some nice shots. I thought Malik Hall did some good things for us. And no question that Marcus played better. And we still think Marty's in that same mold. So, and you know, maybe he'll get a few more minutes. So we got guys playing better. We're not playing great. It wasn't like we won the game because we shot the lights out or anything. I thought we won the game the old-fashioned way. You know, it was a grind, and that's what we did, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Go next to Kyle Austin.
Tom, I want to ask you first real quick about your travel. Do you guys plan to stay down there through Selection Sunday, or would you come back here after you're eliminated?
Well, you know, from what I know, Kyle, they want us to stay. Any of the teams that are in the hunt for that, they don't want you going back home and leaving the proverbial bubble of whatever way that is. And so the way it looks, we win or lose on Thursday, we might be sitting there in a hotel until Friday night and or Sunday night, and then the logistics, the protocol is if we're in the tournament, then we move to the hotel that the tournament committee designates for us. And we move to a floor. We quarantine for 24 hours where we're not allowed out of our rooms. It was like when I got bad grades or something in kindergarten, you know, I'm going to be in that room and not going to move. But I think the committee's trying to do as good a job. Dan Gavitt and his group have really thought through this thing, and so we'll do that on Monday, I guess, and then on Tuesday start getting ready to go. You know, they have rooms in the convention center for us to have meetings in, film sessions. They have 12 courts in the convention center, and that's where there'll be times for each team to work out. And other than that, we'll be in our rooms, and every player is in his own room. It gets ratcheted up. I think they looked at the NBA protocol and stole some things from it, and rightfully so. And so it's going to be different. But right now, we plan on staying down there because that's what I think they want us to do.
And then if I could follow up on something real quick from Sunday, Jack getting in the rotation, playing a little bit in the first half and the second half, why did you go with that? And was that kind of a one-game thing, or does he have a role going forward, do you think?
No, you know, we just looked at it and we felt like we weren't moving the ball as much. And Jack will do, you know, just about anything. And he understands the game so well. He's players love him. He's, you know, solid and steady. And probably, you know, when Foster was here, I mean, Foster would have been the guy in there. But Jack has just kind of, in his own way, progressed. And personally, I didn't think he looked like a fish out of water in any way, shape, or form. He's smart. He can shoot the ball, and mostly he can figure out what's got to be done, and he does it the right way. So you might still see Jack some in and out. I don't think it'll be for long stretches, but definitely kind of the guy that kind of settles us down a little bit.
Go next to Graham Couch.
Tom, I wonder the dynamic shift when you beat Michigan and it looks like you guys are probably in the field from going from a team that was probably desperate in Indianapolis to one that how do you prevent the exhale? And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the exhale. I guess you're in the spot you're in. But how do you deal with that dynamic that's probably a shift?
Yeah, you know, I think I understand exactly what you're saying. And but as I've said, I've been in this tournament 22 or three times in a row. And, you know, sometimes I thought we'd be a certain seed and we weren't. Sometimes I thought we'd be a one seed and we weren't. A couple times I thought we'd be a three or four and we were two. But for the most part, it always works in the negative, it seems like. So I don't trust anything. You know, I don't. And that's why I've told my players, I don't want to put more pressure on you. I don't want you relaxing. But the biggest key, win, lose, or draw, and whether we move on or not, is the same motto we've been sticking with for the last six games is, can we get better each game? You know, can we get better? Can we take the last game, some things we didn't do right, can we get better at them? And that's kind of the way I've looked at it and approached it. I didn't go in there, be very honest with you, and say, hey, we have to win this game or we're out of the tournament. And I didn't go in there and say, if we win this game, we're in the tournament. You know, who knows what's going to happen with some of these conference tournaments. You know, I've heard so much scuttlebutt about this team deserves to be in, this team doesn't. If you're losing record in your league, you don't. If you're losing record in your league, you do. If your strength of schedule is high, if your net is low, you know, I don't see any of those things being a major factor this year if you want to look at it. I think the eye test is, you know, who you played, how's your team playing, and but I don't have control over that. So, you know, I don't want any letdowns, and you got to guard against it. But a couple extra days, I think, helps in that way, to be honest with you, Glenn.
The other dynamic I wanted to ask you about, for a long time you struggled to guard bigs, but it seems like that's something you've done fairly well against a number of different kind of bigs late. And then you get a Maryland team that doesn't have a big. You guys have sort of become a team that's better off facing the big teams. Is that fair to say at this point?
Well, you can say that today. You know, about two and a half weeks ago, we would have said, give me the small teams. You know, the big teams are killing us. We made some adjustments. I mean, I give my staff credit. I give the players credit. We made some adjustments, how we're going to guard the post, what we're going to do. Really got into, you know, what guys like to do and tried to take that away. So I think we've done a better job. I think our bigs have done a better job. The staff, assistant coaches have done even a better job. But you're right. Now we got, you know, we just went from one thing to a complete other. Now, we did face something like that against Ohio State. You know, it was somewhat similar. But they create some problems because they got three guards that can really put it on the floor and do some things. And they're all 6'5", 6'6". And I like them all, unfortunately. Ayola and of course, Marcel are very, very athletic. And Ayola is really tough. I mean, he backs you in like a center. And so we'll have our hands full. But you know what? We're ready to play. One thing I will say about this team, they face the world. You know, they face the pressure of Duke. They face the zone of Notre Dame. They've faced the big guys of Iowa and, you know, Michigan and Illinois. And they've faced shooters of Iowa and Wisconsin. Pressure that Purdue puts on you. I mean, we have faced it all. We have played it all. And I think we are battle tested, you know, and we almost didn't survive it. We've survived it, but now we got to move forward and rearrange our goals and have new expectations. And that's what we're doing this week.
We have time for one more. We'll go to Ian Kress.
Hi, Tom. I kind of wanted to ask about Foster. How important is his role going to be throughout the tournament just as another coach on the bench for you guys?
Yeah, you know, it's a shame because he sits in practice and I have to send Josh over there every once in a while because Frost, he's a guy who loves the game. I mean, he's a guy that lives the game and now he's living it through a coach. I think sometimes it'd be a good question to ask him sometime. It probably gets frustrating because he sees it from a different angle now and he understands what we go through sometimes, but he's very important to me, very important to us. I think he is a coach on the floor. I mean, he understands the game better than, you know, it's been fun having him there because I thought Denzel and Draymond, but he understands the offensive concept of a game as well as anybody I've had here. And, you know, I'm going to use him as much as I can. He sometimes talks in a huddle, sometimes in halftime and I embrace that because he's special in that but respect also. Well, listen, guys, I appreciate it. I know everything's kind of tight, but we got so many meetings and things going on. So I gave you what I gave you. We're looking forward to going down there. You know, it's hard to believe that, you know, we're finally put ourselves in a position where we have a chance. Ironically, we're playing a team that beat us once. If we get by them, ironically, we're playing our rival for the third time in 8 or 9 days. I mean, there's so many storylines here that it's unbelievable. So what we're going to do is try to take it one game at a time. Not a coaching cliche, just the truth, and see if we can get our guys as fresh as they can be for Thursday at 11:30. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
All right, again, Tom Izzo and a bit of what he had to say during his pre Big Ten Tournament press conference yesterday. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, we just had minutes left here in the hour. And, you know, before I bid you all adieu, because many of my listeners out there, many of the homies out there have reached out to me and offered a congratulations to myself and the rest of Cowboys Nation, because Jerry Jones, owner of America's team, my beloved Dallas Cowboys, dude got the job done. And Dak Prescott is now a newly signed man with the star. This new contract, I mean, I think it's a long deserved extension. On Monday evening, the news broke, and this will be a 4-year pact that will pay him $160 million with a maximum value of $164 million and guarantees an amount of $126 million into his bank account. That means that Prescott moves ahead of Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans. You know, and Deshaun will be going somewhere else. We all know that drama, right? And he will trail only Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes on the compensation scale when it comes to contract value. That's amazing. Contract, not just contract value, but guaranteed money and annual average annual salary of $40 million per year. That's amazing. So Dak Prescott cashes in. I think it's well-deserved, and we had to make that move because Prescott, playing the way he did before he got injured, he showed that he is a franchise quarterback, and if you let him go, then you got to go through a quarterback rebuild with a team that, other than the quarterback position, if you didn't sign Dak Prescott, I mean, that's a championship-ready team. You know, if you didn't have Dak Prescott and you bring in some other quarterback who you don't know, it's kind of going to be a crapshoot. You know, and you know, you could bring up Russell Wilson, but there are other suitors out there. But this dude still is in his prime, has a lot of years left of high value football ahead of him. Man, don't squander that opportunity and let him continue to mature. And I don't think he's in his prime. He hasn't reached his peak yet. He hasn't reached his prime yet. He isn't there yet. But allow him to continue to trend upward, protect him, and let him take a championship roster to the promised land. What else were the Cowboys going to do? What else were we to do here? I think he deserves this money. I love him. He's a great, great leader. And this was the right move. But, yeah, I just wanted to mention that, folks. We got our quarterback. All right. We will see you on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, probably not recapping the Michigan State and Maryland game. It's just at a weird time slot right in the morning at 11:30 a.m., but I may have something special for you guys. I may have a special guest for you guys, all right? So lock in. Enjoy the game tomorrow morning. Be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.